Hello and welcome to Global Research Unlocked, where we discuss what's rising from growth industries to rising risks and opportunities in global markets. I'm TJ Thornton, head of product marketing at B of A Global Research, and recording this episode on Tuesday, March 5th, 2024.
The early cycle phase normally accounts for about 80% of the returns emerging markets produce over the whole cycle. So you definitely don't want to miss it. And we think that 2024 is basically this phase potentially expanding into 2025. So we think that the global recovery will continue to support EM assets.
Emerging market or EM equities are flattish so far this year, which means they're lagging developed markets, including the US, Europe, and Japan. A lot of the optimism around EM at the start of the year stemmed from expectations for Fed cuts, but then expectations for Fed cuts dwindled on some inflation numbers and U.S. economic resiliency. But the U.S. economics team at B of A Global Research does expect cuts to start this year, and popular EM indices remain major laggards over the last decade. Plus, many of our strategists have called for a broadening of markets. All of this begs the question as to whether compelling upside in EM is still ahead. Joining us to talk about where we stand on emerging markets today is David Hauner, head of global EM fixed income strategy. Thanks, David, for joining us today.
Thanks, DJ.
David, heading into 2024, you were fairly bullish on emerging markets, and that view fit nicely with our economists' expectation for rate cuts and the view from a few other strategists, as mentioned before, that we would see broadening markets in 2024. We're now a few months after the publication of that year ahead report. And as mentioned, expectations for Fed cuts have changed. So how are you feeling now?
Still constructive for the year on emerging markets. But we think in the short term, there's a risk of a bit of a correction in the next couple of months as some of the assets have actually run quite hot lately. Now, you mentioned that year-to-date EM equities are flat, but bear in mind also that since markets panicked in October, EM is up about 20%. And I think a lot of the good story for emerging markets in 24, particularly the story about rate cuts helping EM, has actually just been front-loaded before the turn of the year. But I think if you take a step back and look at how emerging markets have been performing since the Fed last hiked in July 2023, the performance has been pretty much roughly as expected when compared to previous cycles. And we would expect this trend to continue. It would normally, based on the experience from previous cycles, mean significant further upside over the course of this year and next year. But a certain amount of patience is clearly going to be due. Now, when it comes to the impact of rates, particularly US rates on emerging markets, which are clearly a top macro driver over the course of this year, in the short term, we're a little worried, and that means that we are going for a bit of a correction in emerging market assets, particularly some of the stuff that has lately been quite hot. And indeed, some equity markets, some credit markets have performed very strongly. Where does the concern come from? It's basically that even though, as mentioned, rate cuts in the US and in other markets, by the way, have been postponed time and again, and while markets expected March to be the first date in the US, now we're talking before the summer. Still, investors seem to be overly sure that the first easing step is actually going to happen still before we go on summer break. And we are a little concerned that the risk reward into the spring, where maybe investors will increasingly question this assumption, might be weak for some EM assets, particularly those that would be exposed to further concerns about the delay in the cutting cycle. Net-net, short-term, expecting a correction, but we think that will be a buying opportunity for further upside in the end this year and next year.
Got it. But we're talking about the change in expectations around Fed cuts. Back in January, markets were pricing in 3 Fed cuts by June of this year. Now that implied likelihood is not even 1 full cut by June. Yes, the markets are convinced that the Fed will cut, but of course, they're less convinced, or they believe there will be fewer cuts than they did before and that they'll start later. Is that a positive though for EM, the fact that some of that expectation has been pulled out of the market?
As a general rule, higher Fed rates for emerging markets mean a good thing if they come together with rising global growth. They mean a bad thing if they come predominantly with concerns about inflation, or they also mean a bad thing if the only place that actually has any growth is the US and the rest of the world is not growing. So it really depends on the circumstances. Now, the surprises so far this year have actually been constructive. Yes, we have delayed Fed cuts, but it's because growth has been actually better. Actually, not just in the US, but in many emerging markets as well. We actually think that pessimism on China, for example, has obscured a gradual improvement in the global growth outlook, which should be positive for EM. People wanted to buy EM for the rate cuts. Now the rate cuts are getting delayed, but it seems like for good reasons, because growth is better than expected. And so we think that the positive story for EM is shifting towards recovery of the global economy, which actually is not yet in consensus. When you look at our global fund manager survey, it still shows that the majority of respondents are actually very pessimistic on global growth in the next 12 months. And I think that creates a nice upside for EM.
Understood. So again, it's really just an issue of timing with some potential risk in the short term, but ultimately a good story beyond that. But there's another thing that gets discussed out there, which is that if the Fed doesn't cut by June, they may not be able to cut at all, at least not until after the election. What's our official view on that debate? If we don't see a rate cut ahead of the US election, what do you think that means for this EM call?
What worries me a little bit from an EM strategy perspective is the fact that we still price this first cut with a probability that is very high, and the data continues to be quite strong. Clearly, from a risk-reward perspective, there is a reason to be a little cautious, just in case markets get worried that this first cut actually gets delayed. Because I think that a potential delay from June to later after the summer would be more meaningful than the latest one we just had, which was from March to June. Namely, because the US election's coming and many market participants, rightly or wrongly, believing that the Fed wouldn't move during this period, it could create the story that the first cut actually doesn't even happen this year. On top of that, it could create a story that the ECB, the other big central bank in the world, second most important after the Fed, may actually be moving ahead of the Fed, which would, of course, be bullish for the dollar and bearish for the euro. And in China, there could be a concern that continued delay in the first cut from the Fed may mean that the authorities finally have to let go of the currency, which they have been supporting for a while in the hope that finally the Fed easing cycle will save them. And all of that would create a quite negative mix for EM. Now, this is not the baseline, but I worry that markets might get concerned about this story over the course of the next several months. Now, that means, however, that if there is a volatility coming from that rate story over the next few months, it's not necessarily bad because, you know, coming back to my earlier point, if that delay comes due to the fact that growth is actually pretty decent, and this is actually a global recovery story, then this pullback would just be a buying opportunity into EM assets. But it would mean that investors should own different assets than some of those they currently own. At the moment, investors are very much positioning for the rate cutting cycle, which means that, for example, they're very long bonds, but not as long in equities. While, of course, if the story is about global growth recovery, they should own more equities and they should own more currencies rather than being long in the bonds.
Okay, so elections could potentially impact the Fed path, but there's other impacts, of course, that elections could have. Do you agree with the popular market narrative that US elections will be a negative risk for emerging markets?
The short answer is no, but I think it's pretty clear that what really matters is what people believe ahead of the event. And most clients we speak to think that elections will create volatility for emerging market currencies and rates, and this is going to be problematic for assets across EM. So indeed, that is probably, first of all, going to happen because that's the general expectation. Now, the question I think then is, if such volatility happens, is it going to be a buying opportunity? And actually, we think it will be, because we think that, very simply, the starting point of the valuation of the US dollar that any administration would find next year is very, very high. So it's purely statistically much more likely to weaken than to strengthen. And of course, a weaker dollar is the number one thing that supports emerging market asset prices normally. If you just go back and look at the
the exchange rate of the dollar in real terms, it is much higher than it was at the start of the previous two administrations, Biden and Trump. And it is actually the second highest since the end of the Bretton Woods regime, except during a brief period in the mid-80s. So it's purely statistically more likely for the dollar to weaken. And in fact, this is, of course, also a house call. And then also remember that after EM sold off in response to the back then surprising 2016 election result, actually 2017 emerging market performed extremely well. Why? Because global growth was actually going much better than expected. And this is not dissimilar to the baseline we have for 2024-25, namely a broadening global growth recovery. And I think that the takeaway from the previous election experiences is that while the election event itself may create some volatility in EM, surprises me at the end of the day, what really matters is not so much an election, but it is the global growth backdrop. The final thing I'll say on the topic is also that when you look at the performance of emerging market currencies during the past two administrations, actually, despite the widespread belief that some administrations are better for some countries than others, actually, there's no such thing to be seen in the performance of currencies under the two administrations. For example, there seems to be a widespread belief that some presidents might be better for Mexico than others, but actually that was not true when you look at the history. At the end of the day, you should be focusing more on country-specific policy stories than on political factors in the US, which are claimed to have an impact on some of these markets.
Okay, and David, I wanted to talk about China, which some people choose to separate from emerging markets because the story is very much their own. China faces some structural challenges that have been well documented. Does your positive medium-term view of EM include China, or would you suggest to people that they look at EM assets outside of China?
First of all, we have indeed seen a huge rotation out of global emerging market equity and fixed income funds that include China into those that exclude China. That has been a story for the last few years. And even this year, you can see that funds excluding China have outperformed quite significantly against those including China. We have also seen another interesting trend in flow numbers on fund flows, where investors have been basically investing in some emerging markets to a very significant extent, for example, in India and Mexico, but they have been staying away from the global emerging market funds, which actually have been seeing outflows just at the same time where some big emerging markets saw very large inflows. So I think the story, broadly speaking, means that investors are becoming more discriminating. And the fact that China is not growing as much anymore means that the whole EM asset class becomes more dispersed. Investors want to have some countries, but they don't want to have others. In fact, when you look at the trade and investment numbers between China and developed countries, you can also clearly see that they're weakening. For the same time, however, for most emerging markets outside of China, the trade and investment with the US actually continues to become stronger. So, for example, when you look at Vietnam, Mexico, Malaysia, Thailand, or Korea, to name a few, even since 2016, their trade with the US has increased very substantially, even while China's has been weakening. And the same applies for investment flows. So I think the story is all about more differentiation between emerging markets because the story for China is becoming different for the rest. Now, that said, a lot of the bad news on China, I think, tactically really seems to be in the price. Now, when you look at, for example, our surveys, they show a record level of pessimism. If you look at growth numbers, China has been growing already less than the United States in dollar terms for 2 years and likely will grow again less for a third year. So in a way, the China underperformance is nothing new anymore. China economic growth surprises are literally at historical lows. So we think that these are contrarian signals that to me basically mean that pessimism is almost at the peak. It cannot really get much worse. And in fact, our China economics team is forecasting the data will start to improve sequentially from the second quarter onwards, which in fact actually would be required to meet this 5% growth target that was just announced today. A bottoming out of this China story would of course be then finally the missing link between a soft landing in the US and a further emerging market asset price rally.
Okay, and David, there are a number of strategists at B of A who have suggested owning more cyclical assets, as PMIs bottom and start to move higher, PMI meaning Purchasing Managers Index. But how do you think about EMs in that context of better growth and improvement in cyclical indices?
As a general rule, broadening global growth is bullish for emerging markets, in contrast to US exceptionalism, where only the US is doing well. But encouragingly, in fact, our measure of the breadth of global manufacturing PMIs has actually started to rebound since the low in September 2023. Moreover, financial conditions for emerging markets are now the most favorable since 2021 and previously 2017, both of which were good years for EM assets. And that's because both in China and in the US, financial conditions have loosened a lot. Again, in the short term, we probably might get some volatility related to US rates, but we would add emerging market risk on backs created by such volatility if it comes due to better growth rather than worse inflation. The early cycle phase normally accounts for about 80% of the returns emerging markets produce over the whole cycle. So you definitely don't want to miss it. And we think that 2024 is basically this phase, potentially expanding into 2025. So we think that the global recovery will continue to support EM assets. We also think that investors, clearly, when you look at strategic asset allocation, are still very under-allocated to emerging markets.
Okay, and I wanted to finish with FX. I know that's part of your job description. You look after these EM currencies as well. So which EM currencies do you like here and which do you like less?
A key theme of this call has been that we think that the constructive story for emerging markets is moving from rate cutting cycles to the global growth recovery. We recommend to clients to reduce their exposure to assets that benefit from rate cuts and add more to assets that benefit from a growth recovery. On the currency side, it's interesting that we have seen over the past year huge differentiation between emerging market currencies. Just to name a few examples, some of the best performing currencies have been those of Mexico, Colombia, or Poland. They have returned as much as 20 to 30% in dollar terms, while there have been other places like China, Chile, and Malaysia, they lost up to 10%. But these are huge divergences, and we think this is a theme that will definitely continue as central banks diverge in their cutting cycles and also lots of big political events going on. Now, that means against this backdrop, our favorite emerging markets currencies include, for example, Brazil, India, and Poland. Brazil will see an improving growth outlook, strong investments in the oil sector. The central bank is cutting rates, but real rates are still among the highest in the world. In India, we see strong capital inflows after the elections and still a very attractive carry relative to a low volatility in a cheap currency. In Poland, we see a much more investor-friendly environment after a change in the political leadership. In contrast, in a few currencies, we think will not benefit from rate cuts as central banks are turning more dovish, but maybe have to do because growth is flagging and at the same time, inflation is still sticky. That includes Mexico, for example, which is quite controversial because it's still a market where the consensus is very constructive on the currency. Investors are heavily invested. So I think there's lots of opportunities for differentiation, but the currencies that we like best are Brazil, India, and Poland.
David, very much appreciate your comments. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, DJ.
David does see some tactical risks for emerging markets. Performance this year has been flat, but since October 2023, emerging markets are up about 20%, and there's still some risk that Fed cuts get pushed out again, which could also keep the dollar well bid. But David thinks that a pullback in EM would be a buying opportunity. We should eventually get cuts from the Fed and the ECB and others, and the growth story is also becoming more positive for emerging markets as global PMIs bottom and improve. And while China does face some well-documented challenges, there's a compelling contrarian case for China, arguing that investors should perhaps include China as they look to increase EM exposure, not exclude it, which they've increasingly done over the last few years. Thanks for joining us today.
Bank of America and B of A Securities are the marketing names for the global banking businesses and global markets businesses, which includes B of A Global Research of Bank of America Corporation. Lending, derivatives, and other commercial banking activities are performed globally by banking affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including Bank of America N.A., member FDIC. Securities, trading, research, strategic advisory, and other investment banking and markets activities are performed globally by affiliates of Bank of America Corporation, including in the United States, B of A Securities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC, and in other jurisdictions by locally registered entities. Copyright 2024 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.